Amen. We appreciate Brother Prowl, who always does a good job in directing us in our singing. And we appreciate you as well for the enthusiasm and zeal with which you blend your voices together with him in lifting up songs of praise to the God of glory. It is good to be here this morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. I trust you've had a good week, and I also pray that you will have a good week to come. We're looking forward to having a great time in Vacation Bible School. A lot of work and preparation has gone into making this one of our best, if not our best, Vacation Bible School ever, a blue ribbon life. All of us can live blue ribbon lives. All of us can be winners. All of us can evidence the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we can thereby be blessed, and likewise we can be the source of blessings for others. So I hope you're already planning to help contribute in a meaningful way to the success of this year's Vacation Bible School. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the familiar passage, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, Brother Quarles read for us verses 1 through 11. As we go through this particular familiar passage and consider the main character in this passage, we want to look at the condition of the man, the cure of the man, and the confirmation of the man's healing. And we'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this morning, based on this passage from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, from lame to leaping, from lame to leaping. Now, I want to use lame in the regular physical sense of lameness as it is depicted in the condition of the man under consideration in this text. And of course, I want to use leaping in the same way. We know when a person is leaping, and we know what leaping signifies or indicates. We want to think about this man who went from lame to leaping. And I want to also, however, use lame and leaping in another sense. And I want you to think about this and contemplate it as we explain the physical lameness and the physical leaping. I want you to be asking yourself, and you can start asking yourself even now, am I lame in any way? Now, I'm not asking you to ask me, am I lame? I'm asking you to ask yourself if you are lame. Can you think of any way, any possible way that you might be lame? On the other hand, I want you to likewise ask yourself the question, am I in any way characterized by leaping? Can I be described in any way? Can any particular aspect of my life be described as leaping? So I want you to think personally in terms of lameness and in terms of leaping. And if you happen to be lame in any particular way, and don't be surprised if you are lame in some particular way, as we think about lameness from a figurative perspective, if you happen to be lame, I want you to know that with God's help, it is possible for you to transition from lameness to leaping. Now, figuratively, let me define lameness and leaping. I want you to think in terms of lame as not operating normally. I want you to think of lameness as dysfunctional. I want you to equate lameness with powerlessness, with being without power and vitality. I want you to think of lameness additionally as being impaired. Think about dysfunctionality. Think about not operating normally. Think about operating without power. Think about limited inability. Think about being impaired when you think about lameness. On the other hand, as we think about leaping, I want you to conceptualize leaping as operating at a highly effective and efficient level. When you think about leaping, I want you to think about that which is healthy and fully operational. I want you to think about functioning normally and appropriately when you think about leaping. And I want you to recognize that if in any particular area in your life you conclude that there is lameness, that with the help of the Lord, you can move from lameness to leaping. Now let's look at our text. And we want to look at our text in concrete, physical terms. Now, Peter and John, this is the first verse of chapter 3, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, the ninth hour, that would be comparable to our 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The third hour was 9 o'clock. The sixth hour was 12 o'clock noon. The ninth hour was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the 12th hour was 6 o'clock in the afternoon. This was in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. It was the hour of prayer. And it's good for us to have predetermined times when we go to God in prayer. It doesn't have to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can make it 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or 4 o'clock. You can start early at 6 o'clock Or maybe you're an early riser and you can pray at 5:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. The important thing is that you go to God in prayer. These people stopped whatever they were doing. These people brought a halt to their busy schedules. And at the third hour, or the ninth hour rather, they went up into the temple to pray. And the Bible says that a certain man, his identity is not given. We don't know what his mama named him. He's just designated as a certain man. Then we find the condition of the man. He was lame from his mother's womb. He was lame from the day he was born. His lameness was in his legs. That was the location of his lameness. The duration of his lameness from his mother's womb. He was born lame. He was born powerless. He was born impaired. He was born not operating normally. He was born in a physically dysfunctional state. He was born with limited ability. He did not know what it was like to play hide and seek with his friends. He didn't know what it was like to have the ability to climb a tree. He didn't know what it was like to walk barefoot along the sandy shores of the Sea of Galilee and to feel the mud ooze between his toes. He didn't know what it was like to play the childhood games with his friend because he was lame. It imposed certain limitations upon him. He didn't have a wheelchair, or he didn't have any special provisions made to accommodate him so he could ambulate or move under his own power. He had to depend upon the charity of friends. The Bible says, and it's wonderful to have friends. It's wonderful to have those who love you. It's wonderful to have those who care about you. It's wonderful to have those who are dedicated to your welfare and who are willing to sacrifice in order that your needs might be met. So that's something the lame man could be thankful for. He was lame from his mother's womb, whom they... I hope you have some meaningful days in your life. The Bible says whom they, these anonymous friends, are not identified, but we know they were friends because the Bible says they laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, folks will look out after you for a while. They'll take care of you for a while, maybe for a few days. But then after a while, they get tired. They get tired and worn out, and they feel like, well, I've done what I could long enough. So you're on your own now. But it seems that these friends of his, and we know it was more than one because they are designated as they laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Day in and day out, morning in, evening out, every day they laid him at the gate of the temple. He presented no doubt a pathetic and pitiable spectacle as they laid him there at the gate, which was called Beautiful. You could see the contrast between the beauty of the gate and the misery engendered by his malady. But I'm glad he had friends that loved him enough that they were willing to take time out to bring him every day to the temple, to the beautiful gate, that he might ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He didn't have any special governmental programs on which he could rely. He was not enrolled in any food stamp program. He did not receive any disability payments. He was not on Medicaid or Medicare. He did not receive Social Security benefits. He had to depend upon the charity of those who entered into the temple, and he had to depend upon the consideration and spirit of service offered by his friends. This was, in his eyes, no doubt a day just like any other day. He didn't have any reason to believe that this day would turn out any differently than the other days that he had experienced. The Bible says, this lame man, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He said, fellas, can y'all help me? In essence, he looked at those who came into the temple, and people are still today looking to those who go into the house of God to worship. You know, there are a lot of folks, they feel that you are God's people, that if nobody else will help us, then we can come to you and you are to help us. Because that should be something about your religion that impels you or compels you to help. So folks will come to the church and they expect the church to help them. They expect God's people to help them. And so he was strategically placed at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Then Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And that really raised his hopes when they said, look at us, a look on us. He began to think, man, they're going to help me. Man, they're going to give me something. And it was natural for him to expect to receive something of them. The Bible says in verse number 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. No doubt a smile spread across his face. No doubt a gleam shone in his eye. No doubt a look of expectancy characterized his countenance. He was feeling, these guys, they're going to help me. Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none. I can visualize that smile of anticipatory joy transforming itself into a sad expression of sorrowful disappointment. I can visualize the gleam in his eye changing into a glare of sadness. When Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money. I guess he might have been thinking, man, I thought sure these guys were fixing to give me something. He did not recognize that he was about to receive something that money could not buy. He was about to receive something that was far beyond his most extravagant dreams, something he had by no means anticipated when he got up that morning. When he was brought to the temple that day, he had no earthly idea of the great transformation that would take place in his life. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, amen, but such as I have." You know, we might not have a lot of money. We might not have a lot of wealth or riches. We might not have a lot of property, but we do have that which money cannot buy. We have the glorious, powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that will save the souls of men. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. This man was about to be able to walk. He had never walked before in his life. So Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The source of his healing was Christ. The speed of his healing was instantaneous. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. The sufficiency of his healing was the fact that his healing was not partial. It was complete. Not just one leg was healed. It was such that it did not just allow him to walk, but with a limp. It was a complete healing. He was completely healed, perfectly whole, through the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible says, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He had something to praise God about. He had never walked, now he is walking. So he is now not only walking, but he is leaping. Any of y'all ever done any leaping? Can you do any leaping now? I know some of you are unable to do any leaping now because you're a little too old to do some leaping. I might can do some limited leaping, but I can't leap like little Gary Davis can leap. I can't leap like Jaron can leap. I can't leap like Trey can leap. I can leap almost like big Gary Davis can leap. He's shaking his head. But I can't leap like I used to leap. I can sleep like I used to sleep, but I can't leap like I used to leap. But this man had never leaped before, but he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And note verse number 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together into the unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, the point is that this man, his identity was unmistakable. The people knew that he was the one that sat at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. That could not be denied, that a drastic change and transformation had taken place in his life, because not only was he walking, but he was leaping and he was praising God. Now, you know, we ask you to be thinking about the idea of you being lame, or the idea of you being leaping. Now, let me ask you this question. Insofar as your prayer life is concerned, can we describe your prayer life as lame or leaping? And you just evaluate yourself. Is my prayer life lame or leaping? Do I just pray when it's time to go to bed? Do I just pray when I do a quick prayer of grace before I eat my meal? Or do I pray on a regular basis with great frequency? Do I pray with great fervor as a dedicated child of God? Is my prayer life lame, or can my prayer life be described as leaping? Now, I want you to ask this, those folk who are married. I want you to be able to ask yourself, what about my marriage? Can we describe my marriage as being lame? Is your marriage lame? Is your marriage impaired? Is your marriage dysfunctional? Is it without the kind of harmony and peace and love that should characterize a marriage among God's people? Just you do the evaluation. You answer the question, is my marriage lame? Are there constant conflicts? Are there constant arguments? Is there constant negativity? Is there hostility between husband and wife? Is there more hostility and harshness than there is holiness and harmony? If that might be the case, then your marriage is likely lame. But your marriage doesn't have to be lame. Your marriage can go from lame to leaping if you will order your steps by the word of the Lord. And I just want to ask you to do this inventory. You say, Brother Jones, I'm not married, and I'm not sure if I want to be married, and I'm not sure if I'll ever be married. There's nothing wrong with that. You can operate in marriage as a dynamic duo, or you can operate not being married as a super single, recognizing that your identity and your value does not derive from you being married, but your significance, your happiness, should be predicated upon your relationship with God. So as a single, can you say that your condition is better characterized by lameness than by leaping? Just want you to ask yourself that. If you have a vital and meaningful relationship with the Lord, if you are living a fulfilling and meaningful and purposeful life for the Lord, you can describe your personal relationship with God as not being lame, but leaping. Amen. What about finances? And you can ask this in a number of other areas in your life. Lame or leaping? You're living from hand to mouth, from paycheck to paycheck, spending all that you earn, your outgoes exceeding your income, your upkeep is the source of your downfall, then your finances are lame. They can go from lame to leaping. It depends upon the steps you take and the decisions that you make, the choices that you make, whether you are in a state of lameness or if you can be characterized by a spirit of leaping. What about your spirituality? Are you a child of God? Do you have a good relationship with Him? Do you live for Him each day? Are you a part of His family? You know, you can't have a leaping spiritual relationship with God short of submission and obedience to God. You know, the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you living in sin presently? You know, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. And we don't have to remain in that situation. We can get our sins taken care of. We can get our sins forgiven so that we can have a good relationship with God. And our spirituality can move from lame to leaping. Your spirituality today can move from lame to leaping through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus loved us so much that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That tells me that the Lord died for every sin I've ever committed. Doesn't make any difference what sin I have committed. Doesn't make any difference how I have lived. Doesn't make any difference what laws of God I have violated. Doesn't make any difference how I have damaged myself and I have damaged others and how I have sabotaged relationships, how I have hurt my own health. By sinning, by going against the laws of God, how I have had a negative influence on others, no matter what you have done, the Lord Jesus died that you might have all of those sins forgiven, taken care of. That can happen today. It can happen right now. If you believe that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible lets us know that if we will hear the gospel and believe the gospel and repent of our sins, turn our backs on the things that we know to be wrong, give those things up, and turn those things loose, whatever it is that's wrong in our lives. If it's lying, we have to give it up and turn it loose. If it's covetousness, we have to give it up and turn it loose. If it's stealing, we have to give it up and turn it loose. If it's cursing, we have to give it up, turn it loose, and let it go. If it's fornication or adultery, if it's lust, whatever it is, we have to give it up, turn it loose, and let it go. Jesus says, I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Whatever it is We have to repent of it. And whatever it is, the Lord is willing to forgive us of it. If we're willing to confess him to be the Son of God and submit to his holy will. If you'll confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession of faith, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You can arise from the watery grave, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things will have passed away, and behold, all things will have become new. On a spiritual level, all of us have been lame. All of us have been without power spiritually. All of us have been dysfunctional. All of us have been spiritually impaired. Because Paul says, while we were yet without strength, we were lame. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Will you take advantage of what Jesus did for you on the cross today by obeying the gospel of Christ? You've heard it. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave to walk in the newness of life. You can go from lameness to leaping in very short order if you'll only comply with the will of God. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside, you've lapsed back into a state of sin, you have become unfaithful, and presently, spiritually, you could be described as being lame. You don't have to remain in that situation. You can go from lame to leaping through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're in either category, we're going to ask you to come as we together stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth. Turn and listen, stay and hear.
Ye that labor
and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's rest. Ye that labor and are heavy, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke for you. Meek and lowly, there is burden to him turn. He who calleth is the master, holy, he will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon